The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It is 6:13. Tim's done some work on the opening bell, and apparently it's the cold weather that's affecting it. It's something with the hydraulic system, Tim, the oil, it gets thick or something like that. Might want to go with a lighter weight oil. Let's talk about the weather since we mentioned it. It's chilly outside right now. Man, it was 41 degrees coming in from Belchase. Right now, 44 if you average the temperatures throughout the area. 60 for a high, and then tomorrow going up to near 70. A chance for showers tomorrow, real chance for showers on Thursday in advance of another cold front, which knocks the highs down to 54 for Friday, 62 on Saturday. Then we're back in the 70s on Sunday. But look, that's what December's like here. We ride the roller coaster, right? Not so much for David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University, who joins us from Minnesota. How you doing, David?
I am doing well, and I hope you're well today.
I am, sir. How's the weather there? I'm just curious.
Well, we're going to have a heat wave today. It'll be 30 degrees. We dropped over the weekend to 6 degrees.
Mm-hmm. That's a little chilly.
That is cold.
Did you have any lake effect snow or not?
We're on the other side of the Great Lakes, but we have maybe about an inch on the ground. But it's cold enough that all the, like, the local area ski slopes, they can manufacture snow at this point, and so that people can do some skiing, which is great because last year we had the winterless winter. We had no snow, and it was gorgeous for around here. We were in the 40s and 50s the most time, but part of our economy is geared around winter sports, you know, and I felt really bad for, you know, all the, you know, the winter sports, you know, mom-and-pop companies who really took a major hit last year.
Yeah, Minnesota, of course, perfectly placed between North and South Dakota, for those of you that don't have a map. David, let's talk about... they can tell me something from the production truck. Apparently that's not right, but they'll sort it all out. Let's talk about the pardon of Hunter Biden yesterday. And,
sure.
And I heard a lot of outrage from people with this and that and the other thing. First of all, just being honest, okay? I'm just being honest here. If I'm Joe Biden and I'm 80-something years old, and maybe I remember what I'm doing, maybe I don't remember what I'm doing, I got a son that's in trouble, my political career is done, I'm just being honest here, okay, as a parent.
Yeah.
I'm doing what I can to get him out of the legal scrape that he's in, and my legacy be damned. My first responsibility would be to my kid. That being said, how's this being viewed politically around the country?
Well, politically, it's looking like both Democrats and Republicans are not too excited by it. Now, I want to break it down in two more scales here. From a constitutional perspective, did what he do— is the pardon constitutional? Yes, it is. So that's from different ones. But politically, there seems to be all kinds of backlash in a variety of directions. Republicans saying, well, you promised us you weren't going to do it. Now you've broken your word. And for Democrats, it's that. But it's also, well, what impact is that going to have now, perhaps on Democrats' future prospects? Or does it now embolden perhaps Donald Trump to pardon more individuals? And so it's not getting very good, let's say, political coverage, even though, as you pointed out, I think at the beginning of your statement here, if I had said to you, what would a father do to help his son? I think most of us would say probably anything we possibly could at this point. So from a human or a family perspective, I think it's perfectly understandable, but it's certainly not playing very well across the country politically.
And look, barring any kind of family dysfunction, I think it's kind of disingenuous for anybody to say that they wouldn't do the same thing for their kid. But, I don't know what everybody believes or thinks. I do know this, that at least my opinion on this is when it comes to pardoning the January 6th people, I don't think it has anything to do with what President Trump's going to do, because he pretty much does what he wants, right? Do you really think he'd
be? I think you're right. I don't think this is going to embolden Trump one way or the other. I mean, Trump also pardoned family members in the past. Trump has pardoned
his father-in-law.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the name of the person here. So I think Trump has made up his decisions here. Part of me, I think what's going on here is, a lot of hyperventilating over something that you kind of expected. You know, someone asked me yesterday, one of my students, and they said, well, he promised he wouldn't do it. And I said, so when was the last time? I'm shocked that a politician changed his mind or didn't keep his word.
Yeah, that's the other thought I had as well, David. It's like, oh, wait, a politician lied? What? No.
Totally unheard of in our society or something like that, of course. And so on so many scores here, we kind of expected it. The part that I found interesting is in his statement regarding why he did it. He said, well, the conviction and the trial was very political. And that's the part that didn't make sense, because as far as I know, this was his own Justice Department. I was going to say, and that's the part, like, well, if you thought that whole thing was political, then – you know, why did your own Justice Department do it? I thought that was a pretty lame excuse. If he had just said something to the effect of, pardon him because he's my son, it's about human compassion or something like that, or family duty, take the heat but walk away from it. But that statement was not a good one.
Totally agree with you. I would respect him a lot more if he had just said, you know what, you're not going to like it, but he's my kid. I would ask you, what would you do if you were in my position? So I'm going to use the power that I have to pardon him and leave the politics out of it. And that way the Democrats are off the hook, right? The Republicans, maybe he, just from a political messaging standpoint, not that they're going to cut him any slack anyway, but maybe they say, you know what, maybe I get the point and look themselves in the mirror and say, you know what, I probably would have done the same thing. But, I don't know about the politically motivated part. I think that was probably a mistake. And that was probably Joe Biden, the politician, not the father, that came out with that, right?
Right. And the other statement, which was, I was watching the press conference yesterday, and at one point I think the press secretary said, well, Biden had no intention of pardoning his son if Harris won. That also didn't help. You know, it's like, it makes it sound like there was some type of an implicit agreement going on there that I'm not going to run for president. You run for president if you win, then maybe after you get elected and take office. I mean, just a bunch of, really bad statements or justifications. I mean, just politically a tin ear.
Be honest. If you could do it, just be honest. Somebody texted in and said, the problem is ordinary people can't pardon anyone. Well, in case you've not noticed, pardon me, with all due respect, the president has a lot of power that ordinary people don't have. That's why they're the president. Because the ordinary can't launch a nuclear attack on anybody either, I don't think. Can they carry the nuclear football?
No, as far as I know, yeah. I don't think so. But I was going to say, if we want to have a broader discussion regarding whether or not presidential pardons are being misused over time, now that's a great one. I mean,
let's do that when we come back.
Perfect, good.
All right, good. David Schultz, professor of law and political science at Hamline University. And what do y'all think about the pardon of Hunter Biden? And I'm with David on that. If he had just been honest and said, look, he's my son, I'm the president, my political career is over, I can do it, so I'm gonna. And I would ask you as a parent, do you get where I'm coming from, as opposed to all of this political persecution with his own Justice Department? 621 traffic now, WWL. All right, 626 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Tim Zimmer reminding me off the air that former President Trump, or President Trump at that time, pardoned Lil Wayne. From New Orleans, David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University. Let's talk about the history of presidential pardons. Usually they happen in January, right? That's when most of this occurs, right before presidents leaving office?
Exactly correct, because oftentimes those pardons are relatively unpopular. And over time, unfortunately, they have been for close political friends, political donors, and so forth. But if I sort of just step back for a second here, sure. You know, maybe it reflects my, you know, my Catholic upbringing, I don't know, or something like that. But when I think of pardons, I think of, like, what? You do it for, like, conditions of like mercy or compassion or something, you know, that somebody has served a long time in jail, and maybe they're elderly, they're ready to pass away, or some kind of wrongful conviction or something like that, you know. But, you know, that's sort of, you know, maybe our notions many of us have about what pardons are. But for the most part, most of the pardons that presidents have issued have not fit into that category whatsoever. So like I said, they have been confidants, they've been friends, they've been donors. I mean, clearly the most famous of all the pardons, though, is when Gerald Ford pardoned Richard Nixon. And this was when, after Nixon resigned, Ford became president, and before Nixon was even indicted, in fact, he was going to be indicted, Gerald Ford issues a pardon and says, "I pardon Nixon for any crimes he may have committed as president," or basically wiping the slate completely clean. So we have seen a lot.
Isn't that, David, when he said he did it because he wanted to end our long national nightmare? He just wanted to put it behind.
Yeah, he did. He basically said, and maybe it was the right answer longer term, I don't know, the idea of saying that why we shouldn't put the country through a struggle of convicting or putting a former president on trial. Let's just kind of walk away from it. And in some sense, that's mercy. That's compassion also, too, not just for the person, but for the country, to say, let's just put this behind us, put Watergate behind us, and let's go forward. And in that sense, maybe completely defensible on that score here. But the broader point is that, again, what I think some of us think the purpose of what a pardon is supposed to be versus how presidents have generally used it has been far more political in terms of their use than they have been for, let us say, the mercy compassion aspect.
So who, generally speaking, when it comes to the history of pardons and numbers, who's on a leaderboard?
I actually think it's Jimmy Carter, because Jimmy Carter issued a pardon for all the people who had dodged the draft during the Vietnam War. And if I remember correctly, that's in the tens of thousands, kind of a mass pardon or something like that.
But maybe that goes to the religious thing that you were talking about. Maybe he did because he was I guess he's still alive, isn't he?
He's still alive. He's 100 years old. Yeah.
Maybe that's the reason that he did it. But either way, do you think this has any legs or means anything? Because, again, when it comes to January 6th and whoever Trump decides to pardon, I think he's going to do that anyway. I don't see where this changes anything.
Yeah, I think it's yesterday's story. I think by the time we get to January 20th and 21st, we're on to a whole different story at this point. This is kind of like, what is it, the outrage story of the day among many people on, let's say, both sides and so forth. Again, good. I mean, politically not a smart thing to do, but it falls into the dustbin of history.
There you go. The only thing I'd have done is, I said earlier, David, would have done it when I pardoned the turkeys. I'd have said, "I pardon you, Peach and Blossom and Hunter," and then just walked off the stage. And, you know, thank you, David. 6:30. We'll come back, talk about real estate in New Orleans. Time now, WWL First News.